Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi fellow football fan, Cameroon is famous for its football culture and legendary players like Samuel Eto'o, Rigobert Song and Roger Miller. But what's the local football culture like in Cameroon? And what can we expect from Cameroon at the upcoming World Cup? That's what we're going to find out in this episode. I spoke with a former Cameroon international as well as an African football journalist to get the answers to those questions. My name is Sam van Raalte and welcome to The Home of Football, a podcast powered by 433. Cameroon is a well-known country in Central Africa, with a population of over 28 million people. Their men's national football team is nicknamed the Indomitable Lions. They've won the Africa Cup of Nations 5 times, most recently in 2017. Samuel Eto'o was elected as the president of the Cameroonian Football Federation in December last year. To get to know how Eto'o is doing as the president, I called Sean Osimbo, a journalist who specializes in African football. Here's Sean Osimbo on the current presidency of Samuel Eto'o.
One thing with Eto'o, I feel like his style of leadership is a bit different from other African FA presidents. This I say because he's very vocal, unlike other African FA presidents, because others are known either to be twisted by the big bodies across the world. But for Eto'o, when he doesn't like something, he says it like it is, even when it comes to the national team. So let's take, for example, just recently, Eto'o has demanded an apology for the claims made by Radio France International. There was an article that was written that Cameroon players have visited this spiritual, it's called Jiuseni, ahead of Qatar. So he came out to say he wants an apology from Radio France International. They're not going to use magicians ahead of this World Cup. That is not a good way to do it and to say it. And he's also been very vocal about the Africa Cup of Nations and its timing. As you know, the Africa Cup of Nations, because of the weather in Africa, because of the rains in Africa, it keeps on being shifted. So it was held this year in Cameroon. That is in January and February. I remember I attended the one in Egypt in 2019. It was during the June-July slot. And also now the Ivory Coast one has had to be moved to 2024 because of weather concerns. And he had to come out because we had remarks by Napoli president who was saying, if AFCON keeps on shifting the dates like this, he's not going to sign up African players. But Eto'o was the only vocal FA president who said, no, this is Africa. We're going to defend our continent and we are going to play. It's not our fault that we have rains. And it's like so many people abroad, so many people in Europe cannot understand that. They want that tournament to be played June, July, but it is very rainy in Africa. So it makes it hard. And you know the state of infrastructure when it comes to African clubs and African nations. So he was one of those very vocal, he's one of those very vocal SA presidents. And I think that is why people like him. Even the other day when the team lost in a friendly, he had to come out, say he wanted to see them lose so that he knows their mental state. He's not afraid to come out and be vocal. And we've been seeing him also going across Africa, you know, talking to people, talking in summits, just educating people. So I think that is one of the things that is very exciting about Samuel Eto'o. He can actually speak his mind.
So, Samuel Eto'o has been popular as the president of the Cameroon Football Federation so far because he's not afraid to speak his mind. To get a better understanding of what it means for players from Cameroon to represent their country, I called Eyong Eno. He played for clubs such as Ajax and Fulham in Europe and has 55 caps for Cameroon. He shared the pitch with players like Eto'o and Alex Song. Here's Eyong Eno on the impact his national debut had on him when he got to represent Cameroon for the first time in 2009 against Morocco.
Yeah, the memory for that day is very fresh. Just talking about it, it feels like it was yesterday. Growing up in Cameroon, everybody, if you're a young footballer, you dream of wearing the national team jersey someday. And you don't know how it's going to happen because there are too many good players in the country. And for me, I was just looking forward to play professional football in Europe. And I was fortunate to be called up. And it was very surprising because I wasn't expecting to start. I just was my first call up in the national team. I was just there to learn, you know, to get the experience, to get to just train with these legends that were in the team: Rigobert Song, Samuel Eto'o, Jeremy Jita. And I'm going to meet them personally, like life. So for me, it was just a learning experience. And I was surprised the day of the game when they put up the lineup and I was going to start. I was feeling a bit nervous, like, this is huge. My first call up, I'm going to be in the starting 11. It's in Cameroon. It's like you're playing in Yaoundé, where the pressure is always very high. The expectations are over the chart and over the roof. And you're coming into a team where there are people who have been established. Everybody knows them. So, yeah, it was a very special and unique day for me. But I was fortunate to have one or two players around who really spoke to me, just encouraged me and told me, you know what, just put yourself together. There's pressure, but it's football. Yeah. And you get there, just do your thing. So, yeah, it's a very special day. I remember the atmosphere. I never watched a game live in the stadium in Yaoundé, but I played it before, but not to watch a game for national team or so. So I was going to go there to play a national team for the first time. I'd seen some games on TV, but to be there in person, the pressure, the atmosphere is heavy. It's very unique. You can see the passion that the Cameroonians have for football. So it's a day I remember like yesterday. It's always unique, the special feeling. And to be able to play first game and to play full game for my first game was something I'm always keeping in the archives of my football experience.
Yeah.
It's a very special day.
Yeah, exactly. And like you mentioned, you entered the team when they had legendary players as well, like Song and Samuel Eto'o. You played 55 games for the national team. So I'm wondering, you know, what does the national team mean to the people of Cameroon? Like, of course, Cameroon is also a country where there's a French-speaking part, English-speaking part, and you often see that a national team kind of binds a country together in that sense. So I'm curious, you know, what does the national team of Cameroon mean to the country?
I think the national team means everything, like literally everything. When there's a football match, you know, the whole country stands still. Like, it's the respect and the value and the position that football has in Cameroon is a unifying factor. It really expresses the convergence, the convergence point for Cameroon, because Cameroon is a very diverse country. We've got 10 provinces, we've got hundreds of different cultural tribes, and the heritage, the food, a lot of different diversity of food, different people with different cultural aspects. So it's like Africa in miniature. It's like the whole Africa is summarized in Cameroon. You have everything there. So if you need one thing that will bring all of that together, it will be football. Of course, another one is music, but football is like the major one, because Football is what has really made Cameroon known internationally, be it at the World Cup or football. It has made Cameroon known. So when football is concerned, it's a cultural pillar of Cameroon, and the government knows it, the people know it, and unifies it. So when a goal is scored by Cameroon, you know, from every part of the country, people are celebrating, because then you forget every difference, you forget every cultural barrier and all of that. It's a unifying factor. And it doesn't matter who scores. Whoever scores is Cameroon that has scored. So it's a very powerful unifying factor, and, you know, just community unifying experience. And when I came to the national team, we all sang the same national anthem. We all defended the same color. So it's a powerful symbolic aspect as far as Cameroon is concerned. It's not a joke to be to be in the Cameroon national team or to play football there, because we've got now about 25 million people there. No, you're under the scrutiny of 25 million coaches to play in Cameroon national team. Yeah. There are a lot of people who, when you say Cameroon, they don't think of nothing else but football. So it's like, it's like really huge, and a lot of people don't know, because it's not properly put out there. But Cameroon is actually really, really, really big as far as that is concerned.
Let's dive into the local football culture of Cameroon now. Here's journalist Sean Osimbo on the potential of the country and the local football league.
So Cameroon is one of the African giants when it comes to football. We've seen them bring out big names across the years. Most notably, everyone knows now who's their FA president, that is Samuel Eto'o. So it's a nation that has really embraced football. And as you saw how they came out to support the Africa Cup of Nations, which they were hosting earlier this year. So that's how serious they are when it comes to football. The talent pool is massive. Cameroon continues to grow every single day. As Eto'o was saying, they are trying their best to make sure they nurture the talent across the country.
The level of the local league in Cameroon, what's that like, the local clubs?
For me, I will always insist on the talent pool in Cameroon. Cameroon is, I think that, and that is what Eto'o is trying to do. He's trying to make sure the structures are working. Now they have a bit of infrastructure developed because of the hosting the AFCON. And I hope they capitalize on that. That is my prayer, because that was a massive move for Cameroon. But the talent pool in Cameroon is very, very massive. You see how the league is structured. You don't have one team dominating year after year after year. You see so many different champions here and there. And I hope they will set the structures, because what misses in Cameroon and also the rest of Africa is that, you know, we see how the talent grows, nurturing of talent, you know, all the way from the schools to the other side, to professional football. So that is what I think needs to be done in Cameroon, because, you know, the talent is there. They chuck many names, big names when it comes to, and I can't wait to mention them as we talk about World Cup. They chuck very big names to European teams and European leagues. So that is what is happening in Cameroon. I just hope they can continue nurturing the talent and also working on setting up better structures for these players.
Better structures. Eyong Eno agrees the country needs to improve the ways it develops football talent. Here's Eno again.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So for me, growing up in Cameroon, we had school football where you could play at the school level. We have the football that you play in the community. This was very current. A lot of us developed our skills. I developed my skills from this, not just from a football club, but from the streets. And that helped a lot. And going back to Cameroon, those things are missing slowly. There are more kids that want to train in a very proper field only. And we don't have that competitive edge. So when I left Cameroon, I played with some very talented, experienced players who was more about their talent and creativity. So that inspired me a lot. That helped me. But when I left Cameroon, I think the football dropped, you know, the organization at the local level and the football development hasn't been what it is. And I'm very happy that Samuel Eto'o is now the president of the federation because he understands it. He also played in the street and he's very passionate. I think one of the things he did recently was to speak to the Ministry of Education, who are in charge of schools, to put back sports, to put back games into schools, because that's really where most of the kids are really developed again in their talent. And that's a good step that he's doing. Also, another thing, they're going to launch the youth league where a lot of young people can be developed inside. And through that competitiveness, the kids can, you know, put their talents back again into activity. So I think there's a lot of work Eto'o is doing since he came on. Things that were not there, were not very organized and active. And he's really trying to bring professionalism. So I'm hoping that in the next couple of years, a lot of changes will happen. And then, for me, those things were not there all this while. So we're losing. It's just starting now because Eto'o came as president and he really wants to do something good.
Yeah, that's interesting because I wanted to ask you, you already mentioned a couple of things he changed for the good. What do you think his impact is so far? And what do you think he can still improve to make sure Cameroon progresses when it comes to the development of football?
There were two major things that he is passionate about, and I agree. I think those are the first things to do, is to kick off back football youth development. That's one. Two, the local league, the professional league, to bring it up to a standard which is competitive, which is effective, organized, but also the players would like to play in the league because they see how it is organized. So recently, for the first time after a long time, they played the Cameroon Cup in Cameroon recently, and the stadium was full. And they were able to, you know, see people coming to the stadium, doing a hola, and just enjoying football for a couple of years. I can say for maybe over a decade, we didn't have that in Cameroon. People didn't go to the stadium. They didn't pay their money to go to the stadium because there was no excitement. There was no proper structure, organization, and it was limited, but it's coming back. So Eto'o is not just about what he wants to do. It's just what he's being the president is very symbolic. It's symbolic to bringing back hope to football development in Cameroon. It's symbolic to have a young person, because you've never had anyone younger at his age to really lead the football federation. So it's inspiring also for young leaders. It gives a dream and a new era in introduction for many people to start to dream. And then he's really big on players, because that was another thing that I think he started doing, was to make sure that the players are protected. So one of the things he's been pushing for players to get insurance, which we didn't have. And once the players feel that their interest is in place, they're protected, they start to earn some salary, they would love to play in the league. They will want to play in the league. And he's also pushing for new sponsors to come in so that more money can get into the league to develop facilities and infrastructures. So those basic youth development stuff, he's already doing it at the moment. And I couldn't ask him to do something else.
Let's dive into the Cameroon national team. They have often switched managers over the last few years and appointed Rigobert Song as manager at the beginning of 2022. They qualified for the World Cup in Qatar, but are placed in a tough group with Brazil, Serbia and Switzerland. Here's journalist Shona Simbo on the state of Cameroon's national football team.
Yeah, so first of all, if we talk about Cameroon's preparations for the World Cup, you have to admit they have not been smooth, right? And I think people are like, why are you losing to small teams? You understand, they lost 2-0 to Uzbekistan and they lost 1-0 to South Korea during the international break. And Cameroonians were very mad at this. And, they're like, the team is called the Indomitable Lions. That is their nickname. And they are in Group G alongside Brazil, Switzerland and Serbia. So if you can't get past Uzbekistan, I think that's how they say it, and South Korea, how will you get past Switzerland and Serbia? Let alone, we know Brazil. Brazil, that's where they're going to, you know, it's going to be a tough fight. That one they have accepted. They want maybe to be either a draw or they lose to them. But, you know, for you to beat, you have to capitalize on beating Switzerland. You have to get maximum points when it comes to Switzerland and Serbia. So that is exactly what the Cameroonians want. And then from Brazil, you can either grab a draw or, you know, a loss. They are okay with losing to Brazil. So that is exactly what is happening. So everyone was celebrating Rigobert Song, where, you know, he has played in the World Cup. He helped the team qualify for this specific World Cup, but he's been criticized for the lack of fluidity in the team. Most Cameroonians think he's not making, especially the big names, gel well ahead of, and there's not enough time for these preparations because the World Cup is literally around the corner. And so people, when he was being given this part, people are like, you know, he's very familiar with the World Cup. Even after being red carded when he was 17 against Brazil, you see, back in 1994, and again 4 years later, he was also red carded. That is, people say this is his pool. He understands that, but he needs to actually, you know, step up. He needs to actually make sure the team is gelling ahead of this. So most people are calling for him to step down, but as I told you, Eto'o is very vocal. I think he has put his trust in him, and I think also it's very late to start, you know, changing coaches, because November 20th is just literally here with us. So I think changing coaches might play a number, a mental number on the players. It might work, it might not work. So there's no need to take that drastic step. But when it comes to the Cameroonians, some of them believe in him, but some of them, it's like they've lost a little bit of hope, especially after losing to Uzbekistan and South Korea.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the group with Switzerland, Serbia and Brazil. What do you expect from Cameroon at this World Cup? What do you think they will be able to do?
I think they'll qualify for the knockout stages. I think Brazil will top the group, and then that is Group G, and then Cameroon might come in second. But as I said, they have to capitalize on playing, getting all the 3 points against Serbia and Switzerland. They open their game against Switzerland. That will be, I think, at 10 a.m. GMT. That is on November 24th. And then they'll also play, and then next on November 28th, that's when they play Serbia, and then they will play Brazil. So they have to make sure they capitalize on their first two matches. They have no choice but to go for 3 points, right? They have no choice but to go for 3 points when it comes to this. So that is how the Cameroonians are hoping it goes well. But I know, you know, when it comes to the World Cup, some of these underdogs, when it comes to the teams, they come out and, you know, they offer good performance. So you can't also look down on Serbia and Switzerland, especially Switzerland. And so I hope they have a plan, but that is what many Cameroonians are hoping. Beat Switzerland, beat Serbia, try your best to draw with Brazil.
Eyong Eno also has doubts about the team's chances at the World Cup. When he represented Cameroon, he shared the pitch with players from top European clubs, such as Samuel Eto'o. That's different now. The team only has a couple of top players. Here's Eyong Eno.
So the team is always known to have legendary players who play in top clubs. All the players in the team were playing in very top clubs in Europe, whether it's Arsenal, Barcelona. I was playing for Ajax. But this team, you have a couple of players who are playing in top clubs. You can just cite 1, 2, 3, or 4, which is different from my time and the times before, where all these players were just really huge. So I wouldn't rate the team in terms of each individual player as really like the top of the top, because of when you look at the pedigree, with all respect. But I think it's a team that has a lot of work, and there's been a lot of changes around the team too. So it puts the team in a very difficult position to have some stability. The team hasn't been stable. Not too long, the coach was changed, and another coach came. Not too long, another coach came again. So it's gone through a lot of shaking for the past, I think, 3-4 years. So the team is not have a consistency and a consistent management to be able to build something, work on a project and build it. Like you say, okay, now these guys have been together. They are quite solid. They may not have the biggest stars, but they've been able to work, you know, and on a good team. It makes it very difficult to rate the team, as far as we can only just rely on the name Cameron has and the lion spirit to be able to push and bring something good out of it. But when I look at the team very objectively, I wouldn't say the team, apart from some very unique players that stand out for Andre Onana, You've got Anguissa, who plays for Napoli. You've got Ekambi Toko, who plays for Lyon. But those are the players I could just name from my fingertips who I say they're very quality player. But the rest, they're not players who already known such big pedigree. So that makes it difficult to really give the team some weight.
Yeah, what do you think? Do you think they'll be able to get past the group stage? Because, of course, Brazil is in there. But Switzerland and Serbia, you know, you might be able to get some points against those teams. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Do you think Cameroon will be able to go through, or do you think it will be very, very tough?
Well, I'm a fan. I'm a supporter. As a fan, as a supporter, I believe and I dream that Cameroon will go through, and I expect hopefully that we can give a lot of surprise, because in terms, like I said, in terms of the team and the quality, if I have to be objective, I would doubt. But in terms of a fan, I would believe in the team, and hopefully that those guys will go there, dream big, and then surprise everybody, like the 1990 World Cup team that went in Italy. Nobody believed. If you look at the pedigree compared to Argentina, nobody was expecting them to even have a draw. People were expecting them to lose like 5 or 6. So, but they went with a dream and something happened. So as a fan, that's what I would be looking at. But as an analyst, a football analyst, and as a former footballer as well, objectively, the quality of the team for me at the moment, in terms of, because you don't just go to a World Cup, you prepare for a few months to go for a World Cup. You take time, you take years to build something. It's a project. And personally, there hasn't been a project in Cameroon that has stayed for 2 years. If you had a coach that had worked with the team for 2 years to build something and to have a team and a system, then I'll say, oh, as an analyst, there's something that's been worked on. But I can't tell you that, because they just changed a coach after the Nations Cup who's coming in and who has to start doing something. So I don't see a structure in the team at the moment. As an analyst, I would say I'm not very optimistic with the team making through to the second round. So that's the limbo. That's the middle ground I find myself. As a fan, yeah. As a supporter, also as an analyst, I have to be honest and objective.
Yeah.
I've watched the games that the team has played. And from a football standpoint, I can tell you it's going to be very tough for the team to make it through to the second round.
Let's hope the Indomitable Lions can surprise the world at the upcoming World Cup. I want to thank Sean Osimbo and Eyong Eno for their interviews. Follow this podcast to never miss an episode. And if you want to have early access to our podcast episodes, download the 433 app. It's free, and our podcast episodes are published there a week earlier than on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. All right, my name is Sam Verraute. Thank you for listening, and on to the next story in the home of football.
Hi guys, Frankie here. I just filmed the podcast with 433.
I'm Rhea Ferdinand.
I'm Mario Götze.
My name is Clarence Seedorf.
Hi, I'm Sunil Chetri. I just finished my podcast with 433.
Hi, 433 fans. It's Don Robbie in the building, right? And we are here for a great podcast. I want you to check it out.
Hi, 433. I am Fabrizio Romano. Check out my story on the podcast. It was a great pleasure.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.